Morphin Legacy presents The Grid.
Howdy, Ranger Nation. This is Shatteray 22, Vice President of MorphinLegacy.com, welcoming you to episode 147 of The Grid, which we have titled 5, 6, 7, 8.
5, 6, 7, 8.
You'll get that in a minute. Joining me in this episode is Austin.
Hi.
And Amba.
What is up, my home people?
But before we get into today's news, we'd like to remind you all to follow us on Twitter at TheGridPR and check out our link tree for a master list of all the places you can find us. And with that,
let's go ahead and get this shit started. So Morphin Legacy's villain of the month for November is Lothar. So you can check out his profile in the Morphin Legacy database, and you can watch his tribute video and Throwback Thursday clips on the Morphin Legacy YouTube channel. Also, Morphin Legacy's review channel, Morphin Legacy Reviews, has released a few new review videos since our last episode. So there's a review for the Lightning Collection Lord Drakon, Evo 3 figure, which we did a giveaway for on Twitter, the Hasbro Dino Megazord from Mighty Morphin, and the Zeo Megazord figure.
Alrighty, so on to Dino Fury news. There's not a lot.
We have some.
There's some.
Okay, so Chance Perez, who will be playing Javi Garcia in Dino Fury, he mentioned that he might be writing music for Dino Fury.
Give it to us. Feed it to us. Give us a musical episode.
Again.
Oh, period.
Yes.
Ugh, give it to me.
Now, give us some background beats. Give us some insert songs like I'll Be There.
I would love if they put him in a boy band and show.
That would be amazing. I would love that.
Like a whole ass episode.
Just dedicated to the boy band or something.
But to quote him in his interview, I've been talking to them about possibly helping compose the music by writing a little bit of it or offering some of my own songs that fit the storyline. So we'll see how that goes, but it's in talk.
Amazing.
Bring back the NZ boys. Bring back NZ boys.
Wait, what if he ends up being in the NZ Boys?
He'd need to be a Kiwi, though, because it's the NZ Boys.
Well, you know what, wait, I'm just trying to have a moment, all right?
It would be like a whole episode where it's like, I write for the NZ Boys, but, you know.
Or his boy band that he's in show is a rival group of NZ Boys, so they're an episode where they face off against each other or something.
We're feeling that Dino Fury will be in the Dino Charge universe.
I would love to see it.
So will their mascot be just a giant Triceratops or something, since those exist in the Dino Charge universe?
You know, maybe. Okay, maybe.
Also confirmed by Chance Perez, Power Rangers Dino Fury will premiere on Nickelodeon February 2021. So the COVID pandemic hasn't changed that release date, so that's good.
Thank you, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, for fucking locking it down.
Thank you, New Zealand, for actually following regulations and getting COVID handled with.
Even Australia. Australia's been doing their fucking part, too.
Okay, so on to Dino Fury casting, source the Power Scoop. We got a few little casting bits here and there, nothing big. But something I would like to mention is that Hayden C., Liam C., and Neely R. have been cast as Buzz Blast employees.
What did we decide? That Buzz Blast is just like an in-universe Buzz Fury?
Probably. I kind of hope it is.
Like, it's an online news thing that the Dino Fury Rangers are working for.
Which ranger are you most like? Quiz.
It would be kind of fun if it, like, they kind of rolled out a little bit like Cassidy and Devin.
Oh, so they're like news reporters? I would love that.
I would be totally fine with that.
Also, Lydia Zanetti has been cast as Salon, and Derek A. has been cast as a henchman. So a foot soldier. Sorry, there is no news. I had to scrape the bottom of the barrel for all this news.
We're doing the best that we can, okay? These are very trying times.
Yes. We just had Fan First Friday where they literally revealed everything in the next few months.
Like, they just shit it all out, and now we're just like, okay, now we don't have any news left.
Okay, so on to the last bit of news. Legacy Wars. Delphine, the white alien ranger, has been finally added to Legacy Wars. Pop off, Amber.
It's about fucking fucking time. And also, maybe now she'll get a fucking figure.
They have a model for her now, so they could use that as a reference.
Like, I'm very excited about this. I will probably maybe start playing the game again because I haven't played the game in a better part of a year.
I saw a lot of people tweeting, oh, I remember why I stopped playing this.
Every time I start up Legacy Wars and I'm like, oh, hey, there's a new character. And I try playing, I understand why I stopped.
I think I'll be more excited when she's in Battle for the Grid and I might actually pick up the game then. I'll try to at least get her in my Legacy Wars games, but I doubt I'll probably be able to play a lot just because there's just too many fucking people at the top.
But hey, but with Legacy Wars now, you can have a team that consists of Delphine, Jen, and Lauren. So pretty much this game is catered to Jay.
We all know that my main team is going to be Rita, Delphine, and Astronema.
Is Astronema on Legacy Wars?
Yes.
Or the movie Rita. MMPR Rita is always my top tier character. I fucking hoss the shit out of her.
Alrighty, so that is the end of our news section.
2 minutes into the episode.
It's fucking lean, boys and girls.
I told you it was low. We're going to have a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll move on to the reviews. Woo-hoo! Woo!
Hey, Space Pirates, this is Hillary Shepherd, also known as the Toxic Diva, Diva Talks from Power Rangers Turbo, and you're listening to The Grid. Viva la Diva!
Okay, and we're back. So today we will be reviewing episodes 16 and 17 of... The Silver Switch.
Yes!
And Fossil Frenzy.
Eh.
So on to Silver Switch.
These two fucking queens have been waiting for me to watch this episode.
Literally months.
We have been waiting months to review this episode. Literally every time we start to record an episode, Austin just counting down that clock and they're like, okay, when's Silver Switch? When's Silver Switch? When's Silver Switch?
How many weeks till we review Silver Switch? It's finally
here. What was the message? I wish I could unwatch the episode so I could watch it again.
Yes. I mean, that's all I got. Like, if I could, like, have this wiped from my memory and experience Great to Be Human again for the first time, that's a gag.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about that later, because I have very intricate notes. There are 12 pages of notes for this one episode.
Ray.
This queen wrote a total of 16 pages of notes for these two episodes. 12 of it is for Silver Switch.
I swear to my time, you all. Your spare parts.
We were light on news, so I didn't think it was going to be a bad thing.
I guess, but you both are spare parts.
I'll allow it this one time.
So on to Silver Switch. This episode was written by Alwyn Dale and Becca Barnes and directed by Oliver Driver. On to the brief synopsis.
On to the brief synopsis. That's 2 pages long.
Not so brief. The Silver Bros are getting some ice cream, but Steel can't have any because he doesn't have a mouth. Aww.
That's sad.
Fucking rude.
However, Nate reveals that he's working on a machine to turn him completely human, like Captain Chaku. Remember that little fact a few episodes ago? And he wants to try it now, but Nate isn't so sure because of all the little things that he needs to do, like Morphex charging. It's too risky. But that's too damn bad because the ice cream that Steel is holding short circuits his hand, causing it to activate the machine, and they switch bodies.
I do have to mention that Steel was like so excited. He did a little jump up. He was like, whoopee!
I'm working on a way to make you totally human.
Really?
Yep.
Woohoo!
That's a boy. That's my boy.
I would die for him.
My one Silver Ranger.
Uh-huh. We had this discussion last episode, Amber. Do not try me again.
Ray, I will fight you to the death. I will come at you like a spider monkey.
We're doing this again, y'all.
Back to the synopsis. Nate is fucking terrified being in a husky, thick, and heavy robot body, while Steel is over the moon being inside Nate's cute baby twink body. Nate tries to immediately switch them back, because like, no, we gotta go back, Our DNA is unstable, quote-unquote.
He just can't handle being a himbo, is really what it is.
He just can't handle being that big buff body. I need to be back in my twink body right now.
Because he's a baby.
Oh, my little baby.
Hey, I'm your little baby. I'm your little baby. baby.
However, Steel begs Nate if they could stay like this a little longer so he can experience human things, and Nate says, one day should be fine. They then get a call from Shaw that Rebel Blaze and Robotron are stealing more effects, so they unmorph, fight, those two, and they retreat. Steel then wants to experience human things, like surfing, drinking a shit ton of smoothies, and performing an over-the-top musical number, but we'll get to that in a minute. Wait for it, Austin, wait for it. Nate, on the other hand, can't do any of this since he has to do maintenance and finally gets why Steel really wants to be fully human and tells Steel he gets it. He finally understands it. Meanwhile, in the Crystal Dimension, the villains are throwing shade at Rubble Blaze, because, like you do, but Rubble Blaze is tired of being a butt monkey, so he taps into Evox's Morphex stash to power himself up so he won't blow up for the 10,000th time.
They literally blow up every fucking episode.
We then get some fights from the Rangers and Rubble Blaze, with Rubble Blaze actually kicking their butts. Wow.
It's because they used the Sentai footage where we see that suit for the first time.
He's actually formidable. The Robotron tries to get in a little action, but Robotron just kills him for some reason.
Like, what the fuck was that?
He's literally like, I want to help too.
No. Die, bitch.
And he gets away with some Morphex for Evox. The Rangers then fight a Gigadrome. Blah, blah, blah. They win. You know the drill. Evox then congratulates Rubble Blaze on a job well done, with Rubble Roxy wondering how the hell he got so strong. The hell?
Kind of sus. Especially since he's like useless the beginning of the season.
Honestly, first season two, Roxy
does everything.
And just because Blaze accomplished one thing, we then cut back to GVHQ where Steel is begging for more time, but Nate's like, we gotta switch back now. But he admits that he was happy to see Steel so happy. Aw, my heart.
Kokoro.
They switch back with Nate promising Steel that he will do everything in his power to turn Steel fully human. Oh my god, my heart. This episode.
Yeah, one thing I loved is that, like, literally you hear it in Nate's voice. He is fucking depressed this whole episode, but then at the end he's still like, it was still worth it to see you so happy.
I was so uncomfortable.
He was very regretty spaghetti at the beginning and stressy depressy. He's like, I don't know how to handle this himbo body. Like, I'm used to my little baby twink body and it's so easy to move.
With my little Velcro shoes. I can't handle this.
His Velcro baby shoes.
Which are in this episode, but I'll allow it this one time.
Okay, on to character focus and elements. Nate and Steel swapped. So Nate decides to have an ice queen boy because it's a strawberry kind of day.
I think it's a strawberry kind of day, don't you?
I have no idea what that means.
If I had an ice cream vending machine at my job, you bet your sweet ass I'd at least have it like once a week, if not more.
Is that a thing, like ice cream vending machine? Like I see the Dippin' Dots.
I think that's a Power Rangers thing just as a plot device.
It's also Grid Battle Force, so it's like they have high tech. Steel has no idea what that means, but Nate reveals that it means ice cream because...
It's okay to treat yourself once in a while.
Because the kids can't have ice cream all the time, guys. Remember, it's still a children's show.
That's how he stays so thin.
Steel is fascinated by this and wants an ice cream too, even though he can't lick an ice cream. Holding on to it kind of makes him feel human, with Nate fucking flaunting his ice cream licking abilities when this is going on. Because you literally see him like, ugh, 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 I'm licking the ice cream cone, Steel. Ugh.
That was my icon for like a few months.
It was. Until October, I think.
Yeah.
Nate gives in and gives Steel an ice cream cone, which he adorably pretends to lick, and he gets sad.
Oh man, this is so exciting! My very own ice cream cone! Mmm! Ice cream tastes so... Oh, I have no idea what it tastes like! I don't even have a mouth!
Nate then reveals to Steel that he's been working on a device that might be able to turn him completely human. Steel is super pumped, like he said, and he does like adorable little jump and woohoo.
Woohoo! I love it, sweet boy.
I love him so much.
It's not ready though, since it needs more power than the neural aligners can handle. However, shit goes wrong, or right, depending on your opinion, and the two swap bodies.
Wait, what am I doing over there?
Huh? It's inconceivable. I'm you!
And I'm you!
You're Steel?
We swapped bodies! bodies!
Steel is ecstatic being in Nate's super baby twink body. Nate is not feeling this at all, due to being a tiny twink inside a heavy and tall beefy robo dad body. Nate immediately wants to reverse this, but Steel is able to convince him otherwise with his new adorable baby face. He's like, can we just be like this for one more day, please?
Now? But I haven't done anything yet. Can I stay like this a little longer, please?
Well, by my calculations, one day should probably be okay. But...
One day is great! Oh, I promise I'll take good care of your body!
Steel is also cute and funny with the lines when Nate gives him the okay where he says,
oh, this is gonna be amazing! Yikes, robots are kinda pointy.
So, experiences. Steel gets to experience surfing.
So we paddled all the way out the back, and then I caught the biggest wave and said, cowabunga! It was amazing!
He also gets to experience ingesting liquids for the first time and attempts to try every flavor at the Riptide Gym, even broccoli!
Okay, your smoothies are up.
Steel, why did you order every single smoothie on the menu?
Why not? I'm human! I want to try every flavor! I even got a broccoli smoothie!
Broccoli? I wouldn't drink that.
But broccoli is the one I'm most excited about!
Steel is so fucking pumped about being able to experience all these great things that he goes into an over-the-top dance number.
It's a cultural reset.
It really was.
Nate gets to experience Steel's weight to the extent of him sitting down on a metal table and breaking it.
That was a fucking mood. I felt that.
I've been there. He also misses out on surfing with the rest of the gang to having Tim do a maintenance checkup. Aww. Now you know how it feels, Nate. Understanding the swap. So Steel straight up loved being a human this entire episode. To the point where he begs for an hour, even if it means risking them disappearing.
He's such a sweet boy. I just love him.
And Nate hated being Steel this episode, but he was a real MVP and he did it for his brother, cause seeing him so happy made it all worth it.
Hey Nate, are you sure we can't stay switched just a little longer? Maybe an hour?
I'm sorry, we can't wait. I know you've had a lot of fun, but it's dangerous for us to spend any more time in each other's bodies.
Oh well, okay. But just so you know, it really has been the best day of my life.
You know what? It was pretty great. Just because you were so happy, Steel.
Yeah, because, like, he could have been a whiny little bitch, and he was actually pretty cool, but he's like, I'm not enjoying myself, but I'm glad that you are. And it's more important, because he's like, I live in this body all the time. I get to experience these things all the time. And I love that. That's gross.
Okay, guys. We've made it. We've made it. Let's talk about Great to Be Human.
Again, cultural reset.
So no joke, Steel loves being human so much that we get this over-the-top musical number, complete with singing, dancing, and costume changes. But don't take my word for it. Take it away, Steel!
People say I was a very gorgeous robot, but now I've got great teeth and hair. Eating onions, broccoli, and garlic. My breath is bad, but I just don't care. I've got shirts, I might even try a skirt. I've got rockets on my underwear. I wanna dance, wanna sing, wanna try everything. So listen up, I'll be very clear. Oh, it's great to be human. There's a whole wide world of things to do. Yes, it's great to be human. Wanna live every moment. Chocolate cake? I just got myself some sparkly pants! Oh, it's great to be human. I can do anything and so can you. Cause it's great to be human. Now I can breathe.
human. Oh, to be a human.
I love it.
So good.
Love it. We love to see it. Love it, Steele. We love you.
These two hoes have broken it down practically line by line. Like, this is like a deep, deep dissection.
This is a deep cut.
Okay, let's talk about the musical number highlights. The first line, people say I was a really gorgeous robot, complete with all cute choreo.
He's like moving his hands down his body. I'm like, okay.
No lies detected.
He has rockets on his underwear.
Another line I want to mention right here, talking about trying on clothes. He's like, I might even try a skirt. Yes, queen, live your life, bitch.
The scene where multiple Steels pop on the screen with golden sparkles. Oh. That is queer content right there. A High School Musical jump.
Austin was so fed.
Steele scoffing at romance because we have a little scene where Roxy and Robbie are like, and even little romance. And Steele's like, ew.
Disgusting. Ew. Valid.
Get these heads out of here.
The 50 styles clothing, which I loved.
So cute.
I just want to say Devin was serving me some like seaweed from Hairspray.
Oh, yeah.
Steele deep throating some whipped cream. Love to see it. And Human Blaze and Roxy were in this episode too, literally just to be in this musical number because you cannot be in this.
I wouldn't want to miss that. Are you kidding me?
We've seen more Human Roxy than we've seen Human Blaze. I think he's only in this episode as Human Blaze.
He was in like the turtle one and this, that's pretty much it.
He was in the second episode of this season. That's the last time we saw him.
Yeah.
And it's already how many episodes into it? 17?
16 at this point. So like 14 episodes. Okay, so let's talk about our first reaction. So Austin and I have watched this back in June where they were airing Pop TV. I watched the episode earlier in the day and my jaw fucking dropped when this musical number started playing. But then, of course, I had to wait all fucking day for Austin to watch it. So I went stir crazy not being able to talk about it because Jay also didn't see it to the end of the day too. So I'm like, oh, so I gotta talk about it, but I don't want to ruin it. So I was like, like rolling back and forth waiting for Austin to watch it. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to spoil this, but it's going to be worth it because Austin's reaction is going to be fucking amazing. So we watched it on Skype and I got the live reaction and it was so worth it because Austin the whole time, their mouth was on the floor the whole time.
God, that was so gaggy.
We had to pause it after the musical number because Austin would not respond. Their mouth was still on the floor.
I was fed. I've only been asking for a musical number for like decades.
I kind of wish I recorded it though, because it was delicious.
And y'all had to wait until I watched it literally today. Like, how many months has that been that you two have been sitting on this?
5 months. All right, Wicked Witch of the West, let's move on to thoughts on the musical number.
Amazing. 10 out of 10. Your fave could never.
So this is probably the gayest thing Power Rangers has ever done.
And they've done a lot of really gay things. Like, Power Rangers has been gaying it up since the beginning.
I've wanted a musical number for years.
Really,
and
for forever.
And Peace Morphers fucking delivered.
They said, you know what? Here you go. We're going to feed the children
today. It was fun.
It's always on my wish list.
They were walking the children out in nature. I really enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Also, Abraham looked like he was having a fucking ball doing the musical number, and he did!
I think they all had fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they straight up all said this was their all-time favorite episode of film, and the rest of the cast seemed so happy and chapped the time, because yesterday, this episode aired yesterday in the States, so they were all sharing photos of this episode, and they're talking about how fun they had with it.
I mean, a lot of them are dancers, so, like, I mean, them getting a chance to fucking dance.
Can we have, like, an actual full musical episode now?
Oh my gosh, like a monster makes them all sing. That's a common trope. You can have that idea for free because other shows have done it. Like, you can just do that for Power Rangers.
Every show does a musical episode nowadays, even the ones that don't deserve to do it, like Riverdale.
We don't talk about Riverdale. Butchered Heathers. That's a whole other discussion.
So let's talk about some fashion moments from the episode. So Steele had a few fashion moments in this episode. First up is the orange Hawaiian shirt with khaki shorts with those ugly fucking shoes. A white fitted t-shirt with golden squares on it with black pants and dress shoes.
Those pants were so fucking high water, though.
I loved it.
I was like, do you not have a wedgie, Abraham? Because those look like they are so pulled up.
I guess he needed to have them high up so he can get the underwear out. I don't know. And lastly, a golden tuxedo jacket with bow tie and sparkly pants.
That's what a Gold Ranger should wear.
Yeah, I know, right? Just wear that every episode.
Let them know that you are the Gold Ranger, okay? Don't wear that freaking kind of yellowy color, mustard yellow. No, you wear gold. Glittery, fucking metallic ass gold, bitch.
Alrighty, so on to Roboblaze's power up. Roboblaze tries to seal some Morphex with a Robotron Antennatron 2.0, but is stopped and forced to retreat after an unmorphed fight with the Rangers. He returns to the Crystal Mansion and tries to cover his failure by saying he was training, but Scrozzle and Roboroxy sees right through this shit and shades him. He decides enough is enough and steals some of Evox's Morphex to power up so he won't blow up for the 100th time.
Oh, Rangers. Your weak attacks are pointless now. Make the smart choice and just walk away.
A powered up Roboblaze actually puts up a good fight with the Rangers and successfully gets some Morphex for Evox, which Evox gives Roboblaze some major props for. Congrats! You actually accomplished something. You get a gold star.
Drop of the Morphex you stole is bringing me closer to full power. Your cunning and strength prove I am right to trust you.
Thank you, Master Evox. When others fail, you can always count on me.
Roboblaze pretty much gets this power up due to them using Sentai footage, where Enter is able to fight without being blown up. Okay, so the Robotron of the Week. Antennatron 2.0. He's the Robotron of the Week, and he's pretty much Roboblaze's assistant in getting Morphex, until Roboblaze has had it with him and destroys him for no good reason. On to character moments. Devin, he's there.
He has that little singy thing. Like, I was like, boy, can you sing?
Ravi has a get in losers, we're going shopping moment where he's the one that drives Steels to the beach where he can surf. Oh, speaking of, why the fuck didn't we get to see him surf?
What the hell?
Like, just a really shitty beach musical kind of thing.
Zoe hugs a swap Steel in Nate's body, which Steel is not feeling at all. So delicious.
You're like, I don't like this heteronormativity.
She also has a great reaction when Steel deep throats the broccoli smoothie. Yep, that's my gay boyfriend. Commander Shaw tells them to stop their musical shenanigans and fight a Robotron stealing Morphex. On to Bed and Betty. They're actually stayed in their lane this episode and were just background dancers in Great to Be Human. So they were actually pretty great this episode.
Betty had like a Christina Aguilera moment where she was like, yeah.
I also assumed their bumbling was going to be the reason for the swap, but it wasn't. So good on them. You had restraint. No B-spot shit this episode. So on to villains. Evox is just around at the end to congratulate Roboblaze for getting him some yummy Morphix.
Yummy.
Scrozzle is coming in with some zingas this episode. When Roboblaze says he was training, Scrozzle says,
training? That sounds like honest work. So nothing like you at all.
He has some weird line when Roboblaze shades Roboroxy plant armor by saying,
flowers belong in the garden.
Okay.
What? Are you a high scrozzle? Have you been in the garden? Have you even plucked some marijuana leaves or something?
What does that even mean? Like, who are you?
Scrozzle also keeps his mouth shut when Roboblaze steals of Evox's Morphex to power up, even when Eroski asks him.
How did Blaze get so powerful?
Vitamins, maybe? I don't know.
He's hiding something, and I'm gonna get to the bottom of it.
On to Roboroxy. Roboroxy was kind of in the background this episode, but she does have one shady line of the episode. So on to Roboroxy's sassy lines of the episode. When Roboblaze and Antennatron 2.0 come back without Morphex, she says,
I know that look. You've been defeated by the Rangers.
Read them, queen.
Okay, so on to miscellaneous thoughts. This episode was wholesome, cute, cured my depression, some cute filler before we get some real serious shit.
Literally inject this episode into my veins.
You know, cured world hunger, gave us world peace, was a cure for the coronavirus.
This episode is just on God, like, period. More like this, please, writers in Dino Fury, give it to me. Feed me.
This is Becca and Alwyn's best episode ever.
Alrighty, so since we have very little news this episode, I thought we'd have a little discussion on body swap episodes.
Body swaps.
So the first one is switching places between Billy and Kim. So there's kind of a walk a mile aspect in this episode, but it's mostly played for laughs and just learning shit. Amy Jo just plays a dorky little nerd that can't put on makeup. Oh, and David Yost just says like every other word.
Like, totally.
They could have tried harder, but also this is MNPR. They don't try hard at anything in that show.
The better, like, it wasn't really a body swap, but when they're like evil power punks or whatever.
That was delicious. Amy Joe and David just fucking ate that entire episode.
Yeah.
This was also really early on in MNPR, so we didn't really know these characters yet, so there was nothing really to play off.
Yeah. Oh, Billy's the smart one. Oh, Kim is the valley girl, like girly girl.
Literally, that's it. Invasion of the Body Switchers in space. Between Astronema and Ashley. So this one is just played for a villain plot where Tracy Lynn Cruz gets to play an over-the-top villain. It's pretty fun.
Aww. Like, I love when she's, like, fighting the Quantron. She's like,
I enjoyed Amy Jo pretending to be Rita more.
On to Sensei Switcheroo from Ninja Storm. This is where Sensei switches with Shane and Dustin. This one's more of a lesson for Cam about appreciating his daddy in his life, regardless of him being a guinea pig.
That was so annoying to me, because Cam just like, like, I know my dad is still here, but I wish he just wasn't a guinea pig. I'm like, fuck you, your dad's still alive. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
But it was pretty funny to see Shane and Dustin acting like Sensei. It's a good time, like most of Ninja Storm. Okay, recognition from SPD, Sky and Wutox. This is more of an evil plot where Chris Violet gets hammered up, and I guess Sky appreciates Rick since he was the one that helped the team figure out they were swapped.
This episode is so sus, because it's like, once they switch, Sky's hair is all fucking crazy. So I'm like, girl, you are acting mad sus.
Yeah, it is gelled up. He doesn't try to act like Sky at all.
I'm pretty sure that's the imposter.
Okay, Super Samurai is trading places. The Samurai Ranger switch with object. The body swap aspect in this episode is kind of the B plot of the episode. They're also switched with objects, so they can't really play around with it, except for having Kevin being a tutu. Ha ha, funny.
All I ever wanted was a ballerina Barbie and her pretty pink tutu. My birthday!
It's more of a Mike needs to step up episode.
I mean, they have so many of those, and he never actually does it.
Yeah. It's learning the same lesson over and over again. The grass is always greener or bluer. Super Mega Force. Fun fact. I haven't watched this episode since it aired, and I recently watched it on Friday after we took notes. Me and Austin just watched a shit ton of body swap episodes prepare for this. And this was kind of bad.
All the episodes were bad.
I mean, I still like the body swap stuff. I just don't care.
Yeah, they're swapped because green makes a weapon, so they gotta make them look smart, even though they should have just alternated the colors from the get.
Also, I feel like this is, like, low-key homophobic, because this is based on a Gokaiger body swap, where green and yellow switch.
But it would have been a little weird having G and Jake switch.
If you don't have at least one body swap episode where it's not like the Scooby-Doo live action movie where Fred and Daphne switch bodies.
I could look a mess up, Nikki.
If you don't have that, then look, what are you doing?
But they kind of do that in our next topic, Freaky Fight Day from Dino Supercharged. All of the Dino Supercharged Rangers swap. So what was it? Tyler switches with Shelby. It doesn't get creepy though. Code and Chase switch. Ivan and Riley switch. And I think that's
amazing.
It was great. They were all in on their in game this episode, especially James Davies as Coda. That was great.
Yoshi was also selling it though. But like, remember, this is always going to be a Dino Charge, Dino Supercharge appreciation podcast.
Period.
Underneath that top level, we are always going to be that at heart.
We are biased, sorry.
Biased as fuck. Yeah,
this is a Dino Charge stan podcast.
And last but not least, Monster Mix Up from Super Ninja Steel, where a bunch of monsters switch at Rangers. But it was a fun episode. It was very fun in the aspects of Rangers get to act like creepy monsters. It was fun. I liked it.
I mean, it's not the worst, especially considering other episodes that were Halloween based, but it's Super Ninja Steel.
Okay, so that was the end of our body swap discussion / Silva Switch discussion. On to episode 7 of Beast Morpher Season 2, Fossil Frenzy, written by Becca Barnes and Alwyn Dale and directed by Oliver Driver. So on to the brief synopsis. We open at the Riptide Gym, where Zoe is meeting with her brother, Mike, who was actually mentioned in a previous episode, so he doesn't come out of nowhere.
Golden Opportunity was like, what, episode 15? 14?
14.
So episode 14 of season 2, Zoe's like, BTW, I have a brother. Oh, okay, sister, that would have been nice to know, like, I don't know, 30 episodes ago.
All right, so he wants to show her a fossil he discovered, which he's calling a Vulturesaurus, because it is a new species of dinosaur never found before. So he asks for the G heebie-jeebie hookup from Zoe since she's a laundry girl there, and she says that she can hook him up. Meanwhile, in the crystal dimension, Evox is finally at full strength and immediately shades Rebel Roxy in being a fuck-up and strokes Rebel Blaze for succeeding once.
Literally, he did something good for one time.
Back at GB, Zoe attempts to clean Mike's fossil sample before scanning it, but accidentally melts it with acid.
Also, why is there just a thing of acid right there?
Like, you wouldn't keep acid next to your cleaners.
The cleaning solvent and acid are the same colors for some reason, and they're on the same shelf. Way to go, Nate.
Nate, your lab is a fucking travesty. How dare you not follow a proper laboratory procedure?
She then meets with her brother, admits her failure, and vows to solve this big problem. Meanwhile, Rebel Roxy is having the same idea and orders Scrozzle to help her find the location of the Vulture Source, which she reads in the newspaper. I guess the Crystal Dimension gets it delivered there. I don't know how. We then see Zoe climb a mountain to get the fossil sample, with Rebel Roxy meeting her at the top. Hey, bitch. She scans the sample after a little fight. It returns to the Crystal Dimension to use the Roboclone Maker to upgrade her armor with some dinosaur DNA, which destroys the Roboclone Maker, making these lives the Robos do as last convenience. Evox is impressed by Roboroxy's new form and orders Robo Blaze to go with her to destroy the Rangers. Back on Earth, Zoe solves her big problem, gives her brother another sample, and reveals that he in fact did find a new dinosaur species. But cut it with feels. We gotta deal with the dino-powered Roboroxy, who mops the floor with the Rangers while Devin fights Robo Blaze. Rebel Roxy then grows to a giant form with even more power, but not enough, and is destroyed by the Beastex King Ultrazord. R.I.P.
That's bullshit.
We then end the episode with Zoe admitting that maybe she should ask for help the next time she needs to solve a big problem, and Mike getting a scholarship for college. Yay! Oh, and Ben and Betty get squirted by ketchup by their dad's weirdly trained dog. The end.
That was some clown-ass shit, because, like, the dog had, like, this weird, like, puppet arm or something.
It's like a weird Muppet, but they mentioned he was trained, but it's like, what possible reason would you need a dog to squirt ketchup on a hot dog?
Like, you can't just do that, you're fighting self.
We're really spending our tax dollars on shit like this. Alright, on to character focus and elements. Zoe solves a big problem. So Zoe fucks up her brother's fossil again.
Way to go, Zoe.
And decides to solve this big problem by climbing a mountain, even though she has a Zord that can fly.
Okay, what got me about that is I'm like, you climbed a mountain, you have a helicopter Zord, and the helicopter Zord shows up so they can leave.
Maybe she was trying not to use grid battle for resources.
I get that.
But also you have jumping power. Like, why wouldn't you just jump?
That, oh my god, that dude, what the fuck?
You're really trying to make this hard for yourself, Zoe. I mean, really?
Jeez.
Should you cut up your limbs next too? You should just grab onto the rocks with your teeth. Maybe that'll help you prove yourself.
I am so fucking tired of all this bullshit they put Zoe. This poor girl, she's the only girl on the team, but however, she's the one that makes the most catastrophic mistakes. Like, you make fucking kidding me.
Yeah, like, ever since the Keeper episode, it's like, oh, she fucks up. She lets Keeper get away. Oh, she accidentally sparks off the teleporters. Oh, she actually melted her brother's fossil symbol. I'm like, why do you keep on doing these episodes with Zoe where she fucks up and has to solve it? I mean, I get it. She solves big problems, but it's like, and not every focus for Zoe needs to be her solving a problem she made.
Like, she could solve a problem that Ravi made, or a problem that Devin, or even a problem that Nate made.
It just gets repetitive after the fourth time you did it.
Especially, like, because she's, like, it makes it feel like girls are always making mistakes because she's the only fucking girl on the team. Last episode, Becca and Alwyn gave us a beautiful episode, and then turn around to this horse shit. The ice you were walking on, it was so thin, but I think you've broke it. You've broke through the ice. Your right foot is in that ice water right now.
Yeah, well, Zoe doesn't have any more fuck-up moments for the rest of the season.
But I'm just saying, it's either she in the background doing absolutely nothing, or she's the queen of fucking up hugely. Like, I understand people mess up. People make mistakes. That is a great lesson to learn. This shouldn't be the only defining trait of hers. It's like, everything you know about Zoe is she makes mistakes, and apparently she likes boys. Like, that's it. Boring. Boring as shit. This is a cute kid, she's a great actress, and you just got her doing nothing.
But onto a girl that does something, Roboroxy. Roboroxy gets a fancy new form this episode thanks to dinosaur DNA from the fossil Zoe's bro found, but it's not enough and she's destroyed after a big fight with the Beastex King Ultrazord. Moment of silence for Roboroxy.
Bullshit. Fucking bullshit ass motherfucking.
I said moment of silence!
I can grumble through my silence. I'm mad.
And done.
Bullshit ass motherfucking bullshit.
All right, I know I just made this segment last episode, but now for the final time, Rubber Axe Sassy Lines of the Episodes. When Robo Roxy morphs to fight the Rangers after getting the dino DNA sample, she says,
"Don't you know not to mess with poisonous plants?"
And then Robo Roxy shades Scrozzle's Gigadrone by saying,
"Meanwhile, I have something that can destroy the Rangers in half the time it takes for you to make one of your contraptions."
She said, period.
Oh, God. I'm gonna miss you, Robo Roxy.
I miss you, queen.
She gave us two for the road, guys.
Pour one out for Robo Roxy.
Yeah.
We're gonna miss you, queen. Okay, well, on to character moments. Devin gets a cool fight with Robo Blaze, and the show actually remembers he freezes when he sees dogs because he gets his hot dog stolen by one.
Isn't this like the second time in the whole series?
Yes.
It is the third, I think, because there was an episode in the end of season one where he freezes up. Remember when Steel wanted a dog and he gets one and it makes Devin freeze up? Yeah, that's the last time before this that he freezes up.
And this is probably the last time it happens in the whole series, right, spoiler boys?
Yes.
What I fucking thought.
On to Ravi. Ravi gets to enact the final blow on Robo Roxy, and while enacting this final blow, he says,
"Say goodbye, fake Roxy."
You watch your fucking mouth, Ravi.
Ravi, I'll slap that mouth off of you. I'm gonna slap the gel right out of your hair.
On to Nate. Nate works on tuning up Jack and offers his lap to Zoe. He then informs Zoe that she used acid instead of cleaning solvent. "This is acid, Zozo. Sorry, our cleaning solvent and acid aren't on the same color and on the same shelf."
It's not her fault. It's his shitty fucking lab storage. You don't store solvents and acids in the same shelf. And why is the label facing away? Like, you should have your labels facing out.
And why do you have acid? What are you melting?
Also, she should have looked at the whole fucking bottle, but you know.
On to Steel. Steel doesn't really have any big moments this episode because his big moment was last episode, but he does have a cute rapport with Jax where they say,
"I feel like a spring chicken."
"Don't you mean spring rabbit?"
On to Commander Shaw. She sends the Zords, but says it fiercely.
Okay.
I gotta mention my Shaw. I'm sorry.
Shaw. Commander Shaw.
Don't make fun of my accent. On to Ben and Betty. Ben and Betty are taking care of General Burke's pupper, Pickles, who causes shenanigans at the Riptide Gym and steals a frozen Devin's hot dog. And since he has military training, he can put ketchup on it with some creepy puppet hands and squirts Ben and Betty in the face. Hilarity ensues. Welcome back, Ben and Betty. You're shit again.
It's like a pick a lane. God.
They're either use them really well or like this. That's garbage.
Please pick a lane. Make up your mind.
Please be consistent.
Spots, B spots. On to the B spot. Jax gets a tune up. That's cool. Okay, on to the villains. Evox. Evox is finally at full strain, and the first thing he does is shade Robo Roxy for her failures and sucks Robo Blaze off for getting him one barrel of Morphex.
"At last, my plans can begin to move forward. But it's no thanks to you, Roxy. You've done nothing but fail. Unlike Blaze, who has served me well, it would be wise for the rest of you to be more like him."
This is fucking horseshit. I will not listen to this slander, Evox.
You didn't do shit.
Blaze got one barrel of Morphex and suddenly he's your best friend. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Fuck on my little nubby chode.
On to Scrozzy. Scrozzle is a big helper this episode. He helps Evox get back to full strength. He helps Robo Roxy find the DNA sample. And he helps the Rangers find out that the Roboclone Maker is broken. So Robo Roxy is gone for good. Because for some reason, he really needed to teleport in Robo Blaze's fight with Devin to tell him something he already knows.
"Blaze, you fool! You let them destroy Roxy? You know I don't have the parts to repair the robot maker!"
"So you can't build another Roxy?
Shut it, Scrozz!"
And he also has a funny line when Robo Roxy is prepping to upgrade and says,
"Scrozzle, you know what to do."
Never says please.
I love a good amount of sass. He never says it loud, though, because she'd probably beat his ass.
She'd probably punch him in the face if he said it to her face.
He's like, "You never say please." "What was that?" "Nothing. Nothing. That was nothing. You didn't hear anything from me."
Okay, so on to Robo Blaze. Robo Blaze has a cool fight with Devin, and he also has a sassy line himself where he says,
"We were hoping you could help us with a fun little game called Who Can Wipe Out the Most Rangers."
Didn't he do like a little twitch or something? He's like, we thought we'd do a fun little game.
Yeah, he did. Like that little back and forth was sass.
Hashtag RoboSass. On to miscellaneous thoughts. It was smart of the show to connect Roboroxy's final form to the Rangers plot of the episode. It was also smart of them to destroy the Roboclone Maker, since they pretty much killed Roboblaze and Roboroxy on the daily. So they got to find a way to finally kill them.
They made the Robo versions of them so weak compared to like the Avatar ones.
Because once they die, they're back to being regular Blaze and Roxy. But if the Roboclones, they can just die as many times as they want. They don't care because they've got backed up.
But when you think about it, like, they're just backups. They're just copies. They're not the real thing. And the real thing has, like, you know, they're feeding off of their life energy. It's always going to be stronger the purer the source. So, I mean, it makes sense. The Robo versions are fucking trash, kind of. Like, fight-wise, obviously. Attitude-wise, no. Roboroxy is the queen among queens.
Alrighty, so that was the end of our reviews. We all love Silva Switch, and we all...
kind of didn't really care for Fossil Frenchie that much.
Yeah. And next episode, we will be reviewing 18, 19, and 20. So, next episode will be our last reviewing Beast Morphers episodes before we do a season retrospective in January. Okay, so on to questions.
Yes! I love this section.
First up is Jason Chu on Facebook. Who is your favorite Sixth Ranger? Ivan.
Ivan, always and forever. I don't care how much I love any other season.
He is the knightly knight of Xandar. We all love him for it.
Also, he's the best gold ranger. And as the, you know, the guru of gold, if you will, that's important for everybody to know.
And as the not guru of gold, he is still my favorite. Up next, at Johnny Marrero on Twitter, he has three questions. If they reboot Mighty Morphin, do you think it will have a Smallville Arrowverse style or in the same style as the main TV series, like film-wise?
I hope not.
I don't want that.
That style works great for DC, I guess. Not really. But it's also kind of played out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same thing.
Give us something new.
Give us the show, but more mature, honestly. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And by mature, I don't mean just tone down all the colors.
Yeah, I still need some camp.
And a little of the 2017 movie in there, but not the leaked nudes thing. We can do without
that. Ugh, I swear to God.
Up next is, will Dino Fury have an original Battleizer?
Probably not, since your soldier already has like a bajillion.
Yeah, they have a billion power-ups and one for the red, so I doubt it.
Yeah, they don't need an original one.
And last, what do you think the mentors will be in Dino Fury?
We don't know.
We honestly don't.
I would love for it to be the Dino Charge Rangers, but...
I was thinking the same thing, but who the hell knows?
I would be okay if they pulled from the different seasons, but honestly, they could probably just skip that entire thing from the jump.
Or they can just do original characters be the mentors. We don't have to be continuity nostalgia Gonza on all that shit.
It would be nice, but I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Especially with COVID. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Next up, at DD Hime on Twitter asks, favorite Power Rangers mentors? They don't even have to be a Power Ranger themselves. Dr. K.
I love Kendall.
Oh, yeah. Kendall for sure.
Kendall, then Dr. K.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah, like everybody else is kind of mid for me. Like, I don't really care that much.
Like, I need sass.
I do like Haley a little bit. I like Haley.
She's more of a technical advisor.
Oh my gosh, whatever. I don't want to acknowledge Tommy, Ray.
All right, next. Which Rangers do you relate with the most? Do you relate to as a child if you watched it growing up?
I guess Riley, since he's gay as fuck.
Yeah. I guess Kendall for the sass, and everybody relies on her to do shit, because that's pretty much me.
I don't know if it's, like, relate, because it didn't really relate to any of them growing up, because they were more, like, idolized versions of people and characters, I guess.
Yeah, they're more of role models than people you relate to.
Growing up, I only had the Mighty Morphins, and I was almost a little too old to start watching back then. My favorites were always the girls, because I was a girl. I still am a girl. You know, I was a young girl, so I related to the girls. You didn't really find those in a lot of action shows.
Favorite team-up episode? Thunderstorm.
Really?
Shocker, right?
Ray, you know what mine is, right?
What?
Shell Shocked.
Oh, Shell Shocked.
Are you saying that just to be a...
I mean, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know, it's fine. I gotta be a little different, because you guys are gonna say the good ones. So I'm gonna be like, Shell Shock.
I'm probably gonna go with Making Bad, just because...
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't say Reinforcements.
They just said it because Curio.
I mean, it is a top tippy top.
All right. Crystal Cummings 6 on Twitter asks, do you think DF will be amazing? Dino Fury?
I hope so.
Can't really say anything now because we don't know anything about it.
The one thing I'm nervous about is how they'll handle having two female rangers on a team since they couldn't even handle fucking Zoe.
Especially with some of the writing staff they are continuing to have.
Well, there's a new showrunner. There's new blood in the writer's room. All right, last question at Lantern Ghosty on Twitter. Will there be a Beast Morphers green and black? No.
No, unfortunately not.
That would have been cool.
Maybe if they decide to do some kind of team up.
What annoys me is they showed the fucking Frog Zord and Nate's Ranger Vault.
That was just a wink wink Easter egg, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been really cool, but like, it's not going to happen in the actual season because the season's done in the book. And those two have seen it.
Maybe in a future comic, like a Heckle Dark Ranger situation. Alrighty, so that was the end of our question segment. Time to plug it in, plug it in. Amber?
I'm at Panda the Pan everywhere on social media. Follow me. Argue with me about things. It's fine.
Austin?
I'm on Twitter at The Ranger T, and my personal on Twitter and Instagram is Austin A. Writes.
And my Twitter is _Shadowy22. Check out the Morphin Legacy database, all with new information. I have a section for Mighty Morphin and Power Rangers now in the comics section, so if you want to check those out. Alrighty, so that is the end of our episode. We will see you next week for another episode of The Grid, but until then, everyone say bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
This has been a Morphin Legacy production, bitches.